Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is more. Jesus is more.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Jesus is more. Jesus is more.
Ooh, ooh, yeah. Everybody wants a hero. Everybody needs a friend. A shoulder to lean on. Everybody needs a helping hand. Well, you ought to try Jesus. Said it's just a prayer away. See, he can make your burdens lighter. Turn your midnight in the day,
yeah.
He's so much more than a healer. When you're feeling kind of down, that is more than able. I know, I know he can turn your life around. Yeah, 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 yeah. We're more.
Jesus,
only in Jesus, only in
Jesus.
More than a miracle,
more than a miracle.
Don't you know it made me right? Now I can do all things.
Jesus,
Christ,
Jesus,
Christ, Lord,
Jesus.
Make it if you try, yeah. Just remember, the power's not in you, but it's all in Jesus Christ. He can fight your every battle. Oh Lord, he can win the fight. Just call him when you need a friend. Be it morning, noon, or night. Oh, there ain't no secret what my God can do.
Welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement, and I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is indeed your first time being here with us, please know that you are our honored guest, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Church of Christ at Redan Road, located in Lithonia, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. This Tuesday's Words of Encouragement will be presented by Brother Patrick Medlock. We ask you all to please stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Medlock, you are on the air.
Danielle, thank you, and I bring you greetings from the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida.
where it all comes together spiritually. We're so thankful for each of you for joining. Thank you, Danielle, for all of what you do as you continue to be a tremendous blessing to us all. Thank you, Brother Bradshaw, for who you are, what encouragement you've continued to show as you've continued to talk to me, and we've had conversations, especially in recent days and months. And thank you for sharing this platform with me and others. And we also want to thank each and every one of you, each and every one of you who's called the Blog Talk Radio telephone line at 319-527-6203. Each of you who may be either accessing this Blog Talk Radio broadcast, either live on www.blogtalkradio.com/grace-nurture, which is all one word, as well as those who may be listening and joining us and participating on Facebook Live with me as I do that simulcast every Tuesday. Godspeed to all of you. And as I say, and please don't take it as something that's rote or something that's trite that I'm trying to express. I'm really trying to sincerely say to you that I appreciate each and every one of you, and you are not taken for granted. Thank you for joining us. Today, as I do edition number 15 of Gratitude, actually, I think this is 16 of Gratitude Tuesday, what I'd love to do today is to make two assertions about a Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is something that I think maybe we may have a tendency to take for granted because we don't really plug into it, especially associated with worship, but even beyond. It is really, really important that Christians hang with, talk to, and are supported by and have amongst their best friends other Christians. Let me just let it hang out there for a second. It's important that Christians hang with Christians. And I think the fact that the Bible has it set up so that we corporately worship one another when it comes to coming together and extending praise to God is really, really important. And so I want to kind of say to you that even though we have in our fellowship gravitated toward five acts of worship, I want to make sure that we're aware that, you know, you want to really plug into what the Bible says about worship. And so, yeah, it most certainly talks about those acts. But then when you read passages like Hebrews chapter 10, where you have, you know, let us draw near with a true heart. And then the third let us is let us stimulate one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. The whole idea there is that a very important tenet of worship is fellowship. So the first assertion that I want to make about fellowship is really, really important and really, really novel for today, and that is those of you who have gravitated and grasp hold to our worship services that are virtual. I want you to understand and know that even though that is continuing in a hybrid fashion in my congregation and in other congregations, you got to know and understand that that was always an emergency measure to keep us connected. And the idea of fellowship has to extend not just to worship is not just marking off the five items and saying that we did it, but also being able to, as Hebrews 10 says, stimulate one another, stir up one another unto love and good works. Because when we're actually together in one place, is how, dare I say, That is how where the magic happens. You can't really do that through Facebook or YouTube or even the more intimate setting that seemingly Zoom or some other virtual platform might provide. Because when you look at scriptures like Romans 16 and 16 and Romans 1 Corinthians 16 and 20 and 2 Corinthians 13 and 12, as well as 1 Thessalonians 5 and 26, they all refer to something that's called a holy kiss. And I'm sorry, but we just can't do that virtually. So the assumption that we can just worship virtually and that that's a ample substitute is not something that's supported by Scripture. The idea of holy kiss, if you aren't familiar with it, it really is holy because holy ones are extending that kiss. And in doing so, it's really about, and the idea was that maybe there was a kiss, or not necessarily in the mouth, and obviously it's not something that's erotic, but it would be something where there might be a kiss on each side of the cheeks. I mean, not unlike me taking this mug, for instance, and if this is the front of the face, me going, okay, for those who are on the radio, what I did is I kissed both sides of my mug like I would kiss both sides, each of your cheeks, if you were in front of me. And the idea of a holy kiss in that regard was something that is really, really significant, which leads to the second and the final assertion. And that is, it's said to anyone who is viewing this that the person that I just greeted in that fashion, either at the beginning of an assembly or at the end of an assembly as is appropriate, that they are accepted. Because a similar gesture is mentioned in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, where Paul talks about how that Paul and he and Barnabas had received the right hand of fellowship in actually being able to say, we were going to go to the Gentiles, Paul and Barnabas, and then James, and who is the brother of Jesus, and Peter and John would go to, as the scripture says, the circumcised. And the idea, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters, is that that idea of being able to extend that right hand, and you know, it's not unlike our shaking of hands. And by the way, let me go back to the holy kiss. Essentially, in our culture, the shaking of the hand is a holy kiss. So y'all don't have to say, oh, I got to go kiss folks. No, don't get scared. Don't start coming to church or start worrying about people coming up to you and trying to put their slob on your cheeks. Some of y'all are germaphobes. I'm not trying to chase y'all from church, okay? The thing that I am going to say is, so some of you, I can barely get you to shake hands without being like Mr. Monk on television and pulling out a wipe and wiping people's hands. All right. So, you know, again, I'm just trying to teach the idea of Christian fellowship and how it's extended in Scripture. And so, yeah, our idea, our tradition of shaking hands and maybe even giving a hug is like that holy kiss. But the thing that I think is really important is that, especially in Galatians, where Paul talks about that right hand of fellowship, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. These other gentlemen are going to stay with the circumcised. And then he said later in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed, have clothed yourselves with Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. You got to know that our Christian fellowship is multicultural and multigender. And the thing that we have to work a lot harder at doing is making it so that 11 o'clock, metaphorically or literally, on Sunday, is not the most segregated time within our fellowship. and that we look forward to not virtually, but in person. Now, if you have, you know, if you have immunodeficiencies that would prevent you from interacting, that's one thing. I'm not talking about that, because I am going to still say many of us are going everywhere else and then still doing church virtually, and I think that's problematic. You're going to restaurants. You're going to concerts. You're doing all kinds of things. You're going to baseball games, but you're still worshiping virtually. You know, you can fool me, but you're not fooling God. Christian fellowship calls for us to make sure that we are plugged in, giving the right hand of fellowship than we needed, taking advantage of the opportunity to give the holy kisses that we can give either before and or after services. And as, again, Hebrews 10 says, we're able to stimulate one another unto love and good works. This is something for which, as Christians, we should be eternally grateful. Father in heaven, continue to just bless us and be patient with us. Help us to be able to do all the things that you would have us to do and be all the types of people that you would have us to be. Father, please help us to be able to be a blessing to one another. And Father, as has been asked of me to keep Kennedy in prayer by Sister Pam, she's on the kidney transplant list and has been for quite a few years, and that hopefully the Lord will allow things to work out for our health so that she can attend college and the like. Father, there are others who might actually still have specific prayers. And Father, we want to make sure that as we continue to live and move and have our very being, that we'll understand that the scriptures continue to say in Matthew 6 and 8 that you know what we need before we even ask. And while some of us are still in our slippers, others may be in the seat of our cars, or others might already be in the corner of our cubicles or offices. Please know that our singular goal today is to, in all that we think, in all that we say, and in all that we do, that we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.